This is Alfred Beauvais, Editor-in-Chief of AXL. AXL is the American College of Cardiology Extended Learning Series, featuring conversations in cardiology with the scientists who conduct research in our field and the clinicians who are translating that research into clinical practice. You are about to hear an interview from our latest issue. As an AXL subscriber, you will receive 24 new interviews each month. Plus, depending on your subscription level, we'll have access to hundreds of interviews in our digital library. With AXL, you can stream or download your content for convenient offline access on your mobile device, and each interview qualifies for CME credit and MOC self-assessment points. For more information, visit acc.org/ACCEL.
Up next, Eric Magnus Oman is joined by Dr. Jane Margaret Armitage, Professor of Clinical Trials and Epidemiology of the Clinical Trials Service Unit at the University of Oxford in the UK. They cover ASCEND, a randomized trial of aspirin versus placebo for primary cardiovascular prevention in people with diabetes.
Welcome to AXL.
Thank you.
So aspirin has been recommended, at least in the US, but worldwide pretty much for high-risk patients for primary prevention. Of course, it's well-established. I think almost the first trial that you worked on, at least partially, the ICES-2 trial for secondary prevention back in the 80s. But for primary prevention, we really haven't had much in the way of trials to tell us that this is the right thing to do. So we've gone by assumptions. So tell me a little bit about the background. Why did you want to study this, and even in the first place? I mean, most people said this is a settled question.
Well, there have been trials in healthy individuals. I mean, going back in the US to the US physicians study, there was a British doctor study, there were other ones. But, you know, these are a little bit historic now. And when you look at all that data together among healthy individuals, it's not really clear that the benefits outweigh the risks, although, you know, that data has been interpreted in different ways in different parts of the world. And I think in the US particularly, high-risk patients are being quite commonly treated, even though they've not had a vascular event.
Right. So that's really by extension.
Yeah.
Because we don't have trials directly.
But among people with diabetes, there have been trials in the past, but they've been inconclusive, essentially.
And relatively small.
And so there's been uncertainty really for very many years about the value of aspirin for primary prevention in diabetes. And given that diabetes is associated with an increased vascular risk, this is obviously an important question. So we set out to try and answer that vascular question.
When did you start the trial?
Oh, well, we actually started in 2005, but the first grant application went in 2002.
So this has been going for a while.
16 years of focus on it. But I think we'd already been discussing it for a couple of years before that.
So you randomized, it's got to be the largest primary prevention trial of aspirin.
Well, one of them, yeah. I mean, again, I think the physician's health study was actually larger, but we have 15,500 patients with diabetes who didn't have cardiovascular disease at entry to the trial.
And you randomized them 1-to-1 against placebo.
Yes.
And the dose of aspirin?
100 milligrams daily, low dose, and matching placebo, and a factorial design with omega-3 fatty acids versus placebos.
We will share Jane Bowman's presentation. Yeah. So what did you find in this trial? And discuss a little bit of the primary endpoint, because that's an important thing when we look at aspirin.
Okay, so we defined, pre-specified two key endpoints, one for efficacy, so did it work to reduce vascular events, and was it safe? And so for the primary efficacy outcome was a composite of non-fatal MI, non-fatal presumed ischemic stroke or transient ischemic attack, TIA, or cardiovascular death, but excluding any intracranial hemorrhage. So that was our primary efficacy outcome, and then we had a primary safety outcome, which was a composite of any intracranial bleeding, site-threatening eye bleeding, serious gastrointestinal bleeding, or other major bleeds. And we adjudicated and followed up every single one of these bleeds, and they were adjudicated blind to the treatment allocation in the same way as the efficacy endpoints were. And
you followed the patient for how long?
7.5 years, a long time. And this was all done remotely because we obviously didn't have a lot of money to run this trial. We had generous support from the British Heart Foundation, but it's been done very cost effectively. So we have not seen the participants, but had sent regular questionnaires, either by mail or online and similarly.
So what did you then find? Let's start with the ischemic endpoints. What was the rate of ischemic endpoints at the end of this long period? In diabetic patients particularly, you would expect quite a few.
Yes, but actually the event rate was lower than we'd anticipated. So overall, we had 9.6%, I think, of patients who had at least one event, which represents about 1.3% per annum event rate, which was substantially lower than we anticipated when we planned the trial some years ago. And we actually already expanded the primary endpoint to include transient ischemic attacks because we recognised that people having a TIA these days immediately go onto aspirin, so it seemed sensible to include it.
Any benefit of aspirin on this?
There was a benefit. We saw a significant 12% relative reduction in the risk of serious vascular event. I think that's 9.6% in the placebo arm, reduced to 8.5% in the aspirin arm.
So a modest effect, of course, but important. Of any of those ischemic endpoints like cardiovascular mortality, did anything stand out to you?
There was no heterogeneity across the components of the primary endpoint. So I think we need to think about them together.
So modest benefit, and against that, on the bleeding outcomes?
So there was a 29%, again, statistically significant, highly statistically significant increase in the risk of bleeding, as you would expect with the aspirin. And that was seen, again, no heterogeneity across them, although there was no real effect on the eye bleeding, but the other bleeds were all increased, but they were all consistent with each other.
And how about fatal bleeding? Because that's always a tough one.
There were very few fatal bleeds, but they were actually pretty balanced between the two groups. But overall, that excess in absolute terms is about 0.8 or 0.9%. So overall, we see that the benefits and the hazards are pretty finely balanced. And that's the important message from the trial.
So what's your recommendation to patients with diabetes based on these results?
Well, our patients with diabetes in the trial were very well managed. So 3/4 of them were on a statin. The vast majority were also on blood pressure lowering. There were very low smoking rates, and their glucose was generally pretty well controlled too. So these were a well managed for their other cardiovascular risk factors population. And among them, we don't see any benefit of adding aspirin. We tried looking in the different vascular risk groups. So we pre-specified that we would divide the participants into lows, medium, and high risk. So the high risk were greater than 10% serious vascular event risk over 5 years. And even among those patients, we don't see clear benefits. There is slightly more benefit than harm, but there's quite a lot of uncertainty around that. So I think the message to people with diabetes is get your other risk factors well under control with all the other treatments. And if at that point you're still considered, you know, at very high risk, then there may be a role for aspirin. But otherwise, there is really no role.
And to emphasize again, of course, if you have had a cardiovascular issue, then you clearly need to be on aspirin. So this has been very helpful, very intriguing study. So I want to thank you for sharing it with us.
Pleasure. Thank you. Nice to talk to you.
This is Alfred Beauvais, Editor-in-Chief of Axel, and you've been listening to an interview from our recent issue. For more information on how to subscribe to Axel and receive additional interviews published each month, go to acc.org/accel.